Welcome into the Fan Pregame Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We've got a big Tuesday night ahead on the network after us. Boston and Florida fighting for top spot in the Atlantic. That's 7 p.m. puck drop on Sportsnet. We'll have Jason Buchla join us at 6:30 to talk about these two powerhouses and how this President's Trophy race might shake out.
So we got gambling drama. We got opening week in the MLB. We got Stanley Cup hopes for four Canadian teams. Lots of big picture topics. When we have big picture topics, we bring in the big guns. We bring in Sid Sixero to go through a wide variety of things because it's a busy week in sports.
And we're going
to
see him tomorrow at the Conn Smythe Celebrity Sports Dinner.
Indeed,
we'll be ripping out of here in a suit and a gown.
Are you gowning on the show?
Should we gown and
should we gown? I should not gown.
You should wear a suit and tie on the show.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Sid. Yeah, well,
He's running the show tomorrow. We are staying on late tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan for the Leafs-Devils game. That's a 7:30 puck drop, so we'll shift over to our pregame show at 7 o'clock. These two will play each other three times in the next 12 games to close out the season, and we'll get into our pregame show at 7 p.m.
Best bets, of course. We'll do a little MLB futures actions. I'm hoping you got something to sell me on because I
that's your role.
Nothing's really percolating for me. We'll find something in the MLB futures market.
Okay, before we bring Sid in, we got a couple of minutes. There's a couple good, important races happening right now in the NHL. Of course, this Hart Trophy race is going to be a fun one down the stretch. But the President's Trophy, I don't think there's been a season in the last little while where it's been this knotted up at the top. The President's Trophy, we talked briefly about it with Jeff Merrick yesterday on Merrick Mondays, hasn't really had the same luster and the same excitement around it. So we did a little research on the President's Trophy and other equivalents in sports. But I think we've come down to the fact that it just might be a shame that it doesn't matter as much. President's Trophy started being awarded in 1985. Obviously, if you win the President's Trophy, you're getting home ice advantage in every Stanley Cup playoff round. In only eight instances has the winner of the Stanley Cup been the winner of the President's Trophy. And in eight other instances, that team has lost in the first round. So there's the curse idea, and it's kind of
funny.
Well,
I do want to counter the curse quickly because we do have Sid on the line. But in 2019, the Lightning won the President's Trophy. In 1920, they won the Stanley Cup. In the following year, Avalanche win the President's Trophy. They win the Stanley Cup the following year. And, of course, the Panthers won the President's Trophy in 2022, went to the Stanley Cup final last year. Like, it is a mark of something. I do wish, though, because we got such a great game on Sportsnet tonight, that it did mean something more, that there was some sort of incentive for chasing the league's best record because, yeah, home ice advantage is a real thing. But then you get that little curse thing that everyone throws in your face, and maybe that factors into the psyche in some way. So I just wish, because it is a major thing, that it meant a little bit more than it does.
Well, if your pattern proves to be right, it would be that the Bruins would probably be either Stanley Cup champions or in the Stanley Cup final this upcoming year. So you can watch them face off against the Panthers tonight at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet. We'll get into a little bit more of the President's Trophy race, and you can always text us at 590-590 if you think there should be an award for winning the President's Trophy that is more than just an actual trophy. Maybe it's an extra home ice playoff game. Maybe it's $5 million more on your cap. Let us know. We'll take your suggestions. We'll see if there's anything good we can uncover. Let's bring in Sid Sixero, host of Breakfast Television. And of course, tomorrow, we're going to see him up on the stage at the Conn Smythe Celebrity Dinner. Sid, how's it going?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Do you think Justin should wear a suit on the air tomorrow?
It's not about me. It's the gown. Suits are commonplace on television.
Not for you. Not so much.
Well, to let Justin upstage me again, fashion-wise, in public, I won't allow it.
Does he do that often?
Mr. Cuthbert, it's happened at another Conn Smythe. I think there were whispers.
There were whispers of it.
The streets were talking, Justin.
They'd be louder if I actually had been at a Conn Smythe
before.
It'll be my maiden voyage tomorrow night.
I heard different. But it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night. This is, honestly, this is, you know, I'll have been up as of 3:30 a.m. tomorrow morning before that event, no nap. And there's nowhere else I'd rather be. It's one of the more amazing moments of my year. And anyone who hasn't had the pleasure of going to the Conn Smythe, it's you see the most extraordinary families and stories. And to help out in any way, I'm doing this now for a third straight year at the Fairmont Royal York tomorrow night. Clearly, a mistake has been made if I'm doing this three straight years. But it's an honor to do this three straight years, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to Justin upstaging me stylistically.
He's currently looking up Tux rentals on the first commercial.
Can we get some dry cleaning done in about 24 hours? We'll see.
Probably. This is going to be a good one.
Pretty sure it's on site at the Royal York, Justin.
Anything you need, we can get done at this Rogers building. All right. So there's a lot to go through with you. We're just teeing it up. I mean, whenever there's a good opinionated discussion, we know where to find you. Let's start with the gambling of the last couple of days. We've had a lot of conversation about sports gambling with whether Shohei Ohtani or Jante Porter. I wonder for you if this is just the tip of the iceberg. Are we headed towards a reckoning? Is there a way to put the toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube?
I have a feeling that in 10 years, if the three of us were to convene again, we'd be talking about the era where gambling advertisements were allowed. Now, and I understand dipping your toe into it. I understand the money. I understand the finances. But the level of ridiculousness with this Jante Porter story, I've been giggling the whole day. I'm sorry. That's not the reaction most people have. But this is an asinine story. Like, it's just, first off, it's not very bright. If you're going to bet on yourself, this is probably not the way to do it. And I just think leaving a sport this open, where a player who's not that consequential, you're still eligible to bet on that way from a prop standpoint, I think is nuts. I think it's insane. Now, with that said, to be fair to the NBA and all of the sponsors, can anyone tell me what's going on at the lower levels of tennis globally right now, match to match? I can't. Can anyone tell me what's going on third division Netherlands soccer, third division Portuguese soccer, third division Scottish soccer? I don't know what's going on there. So it's not like every sport has an opportunity to have all their cupboards clean. I'm not naive. But it's just a weird... Why is Jante Porter's over-under for threes at 0.5? Like, what are we doing? Why is that important to anyone except anyone who has a stake in Jante Porter's minutes? Like, that you are literally bringing that upon yourself, I think. Now, there's been a lot of opinions on this today. We still don't know what happened. All we know was it was the most hilariously irregular betting pattern in the history of pro sports. And that's all we know. But I just, like, you can't – I'm all about the props, and I get it. But you can't have props on – everything, because not everything is important. And when you start to put that stuff on things that aren't important, stuff like this is under threat of happening. Shohei is a completely different thing. We can make a left turn there whenever you want, but this, I've been chuckling at this all day, because it's low level been in the cards for the entire relationship so far. They're obviously in trouble if it gets higher, but it's so regulated, no one smart is going to be doing that, where they get that close to it. It's going to be the Shane Pintos of the world or the Jante Porters. You're not going to catch a big fish doing that. They're too smart. So not that they would, but you know my point. Like, it's regulated, but really smart people won't be doing that. So I just, I was surprised. And the more I think about it, I'm kind of laughing at the context of it. I found it slightly amusing, and I wasn't surprised. It was Jante Porter's over under on threes. What the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, obviously that's completely nefarious. Something's going on. Anyway, he's in deep, deep trouble, and he's going to have to pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, it is objectively hilarious when you see, you know, the news coming out, like the Discord, he's like a financial advisor or a pseudo, like, it is just all sorts of ridiculous, but you kind of nailed it on, you know, what's offered, right? Because sportsbooks earn all their money on two-way action, right? They're trying to get two-way action on every single line they put out there, but you are never getting two-way action on a Jante Porter over under 0.53s. Like, it's just not going to happen. So you're going to get flagged 100%. There's no getting around that. And it does, you know, bring up the good question of just like, maybe there should be limits just on what's offered, because you're always going to have two-way action on a Steph Curry point total because everyone wants to bet on Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. But Jante Porter is only known among Raptors hardos in this city, and nobody else has him on their radar whatsoever.
Like, I'll even stretch it as far as, like, do we need the Spencer Dinwiddie over-unders?
Mm.
Do we need those? Maybe in LA now, maybe a different market. I'll take that. But I just think this is the more I thought about it today, the least surprising thing I'm going to hear in 2024 is that someone tried to manipulate a player just hanging on. Again, this guy signed in December, just hanging on to a career that he probably didn't earn and is trying to capitalize further on that. It's a tale as old as time. Like, it's not every MMA fighter is making millions, man. Mm-hmm. Like, things happen in that ring. And, it is what it is. But I'm not shocked. I think they need to take a look at the props, though. There are some unnecessary angles sitting there that are leaving you open to some type of PR liability. And I thought today could have been avoided because no one, and I mean no one, was emailing an app for the Jontay Porter props. It wasn't no one with a life was doing that. So maybe that gets revisited. I think it's healthy if it does.
Okay, so that's the least surprising story. Someone at Jontay Porter's level maybe getting enveloped in this. But Shohei Ohtani being involved with the word gambling at all was the top of the list in terms of surprising things. What was your reaction and what has been your take as you've sort of unpacked this situation?
It's bad. This is bad. Like there's one of the number one trends right now on Twitter is what happened yesterday with Diddy,
mm-hmm.
where you had federal officials heavily armed bust into three homes in New York, LA, and Miami. One of the reasons people in the legal world believe he's obviously in some trouble here is there were people arrested yesterday. If any of them start talking to investigators and deals start getting cut, he's in trouble. The Ohtani thing was fascinating. Like, I heard Arden Zwelling with JD on the Fan earlier today. And Arden, it was a great conversation. And Arden brought up the point. No person who is in any form guilty goes out and makes that statement yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That 12-minute statement. You are opening yourself up to all types of things. And I think he's still in very much in trouble. Because there's not just one person the feds are talking to right now. There's two. There's the bookie in California, the illegal bookie, where the wire transfer went, and his interpreter. That's two. If one of them rolls and tells investigators something they want to hear to save their own butt, Shohei Ohtani's got a massive problem. Like, I'm seeing him dropping in fantasy drafts. I know it's a weird way to put it. I've never seen that before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't. First off, the outdoor press conference for that yesterday was a little unnecessary too. This isn't some introductory press conference. Anyway, that bothered me. But if one of them talks, he's sunk. And I heard something today. I did hear something today that bothered me a little bit. It was mentioned. You know, he seems like a good guy. We don't know what Shohei Ohtani is because Shohei Ohtani doesn't show anything to anyone. I don't know if he's a good guy. I don't know if he's the guy that would set up a fake plane to Toronto to get an extra 40 mil in a negotiation. I don't know what he is because no one's been more private than Ohtani. So now in this moment, there's no one in the media. I mean, I'm looking. There's no one in the media that knows him at all that is leaping to this defense.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody outside of the Dodgers organization who look like they might get left holding the bag on this. If one of those two talk, if Ipe the translator talks, if that illegal bookie talks, whoa, doctor. We have a completely different story on our hands. Personally, do I think he was completely in the dark on all this? But what can you prove?
Mm-hmm.
It's what you can prove. It was a training day, Denzel, one of my favorite movies of all time. What you can prove. And Shohei, clearly, after that statement yesterday, feels either he's got his bases covered, we're dumb, or some combination of the two. Or Ipe has been dealt with in a way where he will be very loyal to Shohei Ohtani. And I still can't believe we're talking in this context, considering the story's like, what, 10 days old or whatever it is. But there's something about this. I think I'm speaking for all of us. Have you heard the person on air saying, there's no way this could be true? Because I haven't heard it.
No, there seems to be.
I haven't been close, but like I find it so unbelievably far-fetched. I do. I can't shake that.
Which part of it? That he...
That he would involve himself this way. Like everything you've heard and read about him.
Sitting there. See, that's... You're right, Justin, you're right. But the quiet part is now out loud. The wire transfers happened. That's usually what we speculate upon. This story's backwards. We have the thing. We have the movement of money.
Millions.
We have someone signing up for it.
Millions of
dollars. Do we have another unbelievably gullible athlete who's, you know, dealing with the fact that he's not at home and that someone he trusted has been dealing with important things for him? Like, that's what I keep coming back to. Like, I've been trying to, like, live in the shoes of rich people and influential people who have no time for anything but playing baseball and sleep. And, like, I could see it happening for sure. I could also see him trying to be friendly and trying to be a good friend and maybe getting taken for a ride, right? And maybe I'm being too much of a Shohei apologist.
I think you might be.
But, like, I really, with everything you've learned about this guy, I find it so hard to believe.
I feel like we haven't learned anything about him, though.
That's what it... Ailish, go.
Like, what do we know? Preach. Like, we just found out his dog's name, which I forget now.
Did we find
Radar
out his dog's name?
Or something. And
Rick?
His name's Bucky.
And his wife is a professional basketball Jimmy player, and they're already married, and nobody knew about this. But I don't know anything else about Shohei other than he likes to play baseball.
Again, if it was a month ago and someone said to you, I heard Shohei Ohtani has, like, a severe gambling addiction, and no one would believe that.
I don't know, Justin.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
English doesn't know the guy.
I don't know.
Here's my problem with professional sports. We don't know any of these folks. I got news for everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
The most wary person you have to be when consuming media is someone who tells me I'm good friends with this person. That's BS. They've met them twice. Once at a dinner.
That's okay. Us tomorrow night at dinner.
Here's how I'll put it.
No, tomorrow's dinner is going to be great.
I think that he could be taken for a ride in that, hey, we got a money-making scheme. Like, you should involve yourself in this. But do I think that Shohei Ohtani cares about the Washington Commanders spread on Sunday? No, I don't. Like, I can't get there, but can I get into, hey, I'm funneling money in the wrong spot because this guy's taking advantage of me? I can see that.
I think we all have the same feel. Justin, I hear you. But the fact that he's even this close is bad.
It's bad, bad.
Really bad. This is the guy. Remember, this is the dude who took Toronto for a ride in December by acting like he took a ride, squeezed every penny from one of these significant franchises in sports. And they said, Uncle, we'll give you what you want, Shohei. Oh, you didn't go to Toronto? Done. He played everyone like a fiddle. This guy knows exactly what he's doing, how he's doing it, when he's doing it, who he's doing it with, which members of the media he's going to screw by the time he gets there. Haven't forgotten that one. But now we're being led to believe. Oops.
Okay, last
okay, sorry, last about the wire transfer.
Last quick point. The one thing that convinces me or helps convince me is that no one with a severe gambling addiction defers money for what, 20 years? Who does that? Who doesn't want money up front if they
maybe
are
you're already winning money elsewhere
in terms of their money? You want a lot of money up front.
I want to ask Sid
because you're interested in the Commanders.
I would love to ask Sid one more question before we let him go because we are up against clock. Also, his dog's name is Decoy. That's all I have to say.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, in hindsight, that's brilliant.
That's thanks to Jobo who just texted that in. Okay, Sid, hockey. We love hockey here. Let's no more baseball, no more betting. Canada got a bunch of actual Stanley Cup playoff teams. Do you think that there's a Stanley Cup winning team amongst the mix?
How much time I got, Ailish?
You have exactly 5 minutes on the dot.
Oh, we got time.
Well, we would like to say goodbye and like cut you off, you know.
Sorry, I thought I'd ramble.
We got 4 minutes.
If Edmonton can't do it this year, they're not doing it. Mm. So the Oilers part of me, and contrary to some people in Edmonton who believe I don't have an Oilers part of me, I do. I respect the team a lot. Zach Hyman's a 50-goal man. You got the best player in the world. You've got a 50-goal man at Hyman. Draisaitl's still the best contract in professional sports. Mm-hmm. Maybe outside of Hyman. You can now have that. You can have that debate. I'm not all over Stuart Skinner and their goaltending like I used to be because Aiden Hill just won a cup. If you have a blue line working efficiently, you can get a lot of goalies to the finish line. And they can do more than just get to the finish line. They can contribute. It's down to that blue line and Darnell Nurse, and they know what they have to do. They're deeper up front. I love the acquisitions at the deadline. They're great. Love them. They're going to score goals. They have to protect Draisaitl and McDavid because it's still a league that will allow you to take a two-hander on one of the greatest players in the world and get away with it. The Oilers got to, like a Canadian team, if they're going to win the cup, they got to get like that. They got to get like that. Mm. It can't be the Canadian player taking a hit. It can't be Matthew Nyes in his fifth game or whatever being dragged onto the ice in the Panthers series and nothing happening. Like it can't. The Canadian teams have to get angry because they're good enough to win. The Canucks are good enough to win. But who's going to have that edge that crosses the line, which will be allowed at that time of year to get you to where you need to go? That's what they got to ask themselves. I still think Edmonton's the team.
So the Leafs bring in some edge. They tried, right? They're edgier. Joel Edmondson beating up on Draisaitl a little bit over the weekend. Still, I don't know if there's a lot. I mean, they weren't the first team out of your mouth there. And I don't know if there's a lot more skeptics than, I guess, believers in terms of the high end and winning a Stanley Cup. But, you know, there should be consequences, right, if this team doesn't achieve anything again, right? Or do you see, because there was a change of management, that there'll be a pass given?
I have no idea what an off season will look like. I don't want to think of an off season right now. They just got to get to the playoffs in one piece because right now it's looking a little difficult. Another two guys were missing from practice today, including Edmondson. This team has been built in one specific way. This group, the money group, do it. They got the goalies. I think they have three goalies if they need to that can win a playoff game. Not many teams can say that. I think they do. But it's the rest who comes along for the ride. I still think they're good enough to win a playoff series. I don't know. I haven't seen them win more than five games in a postseason. So I can't. That's a real bridge, you know, to go from 5 wins to 16. I don't know if they got that in them. For everyone's sake in our business, I hope they do in the city of Toronto because it's good business. Oilers are the best team with the best chance. All due respect to Vancouver, and all due respect to the Jets. I think it's the Oilers here, and the Leafs need to. If they get some stuff from players they haven't really seen consistently, maybe it's a different story. But I'm still cautious in the Leafs. Still cautious.
Understandable, Sid. This has been fun. We left you with exactly 30 seconds to say goodbye. Conn Smythe dinner tomorrow. We're looking forward to seeing you. Best of luck. Come by our lowly table. Justin will be in a tux. Okay.
I gotta go pick up a new suit now after hearing this story.
There you go. Thanks for your time tonight.
Have a good one.
That's Sid Sixero of Breakfast Television. He'll be helping and hosting the Conn Smythe Sports Celebrities Dinner and Auction in support of Easter Seals Kids tomorrow night. We will be there. It's the 73rd, and it'll be Daryl Sittler's longtime achievement award as well. It's going to be a big night, big head table, lots of fun. We will be there.
Okay, looking
forward
to it.
That was a fun interview. We've got lots to get through.
I know. We left a lot of topics on the table there.
I told you, that's Sid, you know?
I know.
Chatty Cathy. We're going to take a quick break, though. We're up against the clock. Jason Buchla is going to join us on the other side. We've got a big one with Bruins and Florida, 7 p.m. on Sportsnet, and we will have more to come on the Fan Free Game.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan pregame, Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A little later on, we will shift to just Sportsnet 590, The Fan at 7 o'clock for our Leafs pregame show. Leafs taking on the New Jersey Devils for the first time in the next 12 games. I think they're going to play each other three times. So you're going to see a lot of Devils,
yep,
a lot of Leafs. We will get into that at 7 o'clock on 590. We're going to be joined by Jason Buchla, of course, former Panthers director of amateur scouting. And we're going to talk about this Panthers-Bruins game at 7 o'clock up on Sportsnet. It's a big one. It's battle for first in the Atlantic. They're both tied with 97 points apiece. Florida holds the tiebreaker, though, with six more regulation wins and a game in hand. So,
and if I'm not mistaken, Boston has the hardest schedule down the stretch for the rest of the regular season, or at least they did yesterday. So the path is a little easier for Florida, but still, I mean, this is a four-point game, a legitimate one with trophies, divisions, a lot at stake tonight between these two teams.
It's a big one on the network, and we'll have that up at 7 o'clock. I guess if you're listening in the Toronto area and you're a Leafs fan, we're going to be one of these two that the Leafs are going to play most likely,
yep,
in the playoffs. So it could be a good opportunity to size up the competition. Maybe they'll battle each other out hard enough, and we'll see which one you'd rather have. But tonight we'll have both of those guys going head-to-head. The Devils against the Leafs a little later on. Devils are on the edge looking in as well, right?
They're definitely among those teams that would be considered the most disappointing this season. A trendy Stanley Cup pick, maybe. At least one team that could do some damage after a really good year last year and a playoff victory. This year just seems like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. Jack Hughes got injured early, Dougie Hamilton injured, coach fired. It's just really added up on the New Jersey Devils, unfortunately for them.
Okay, let's talk about that President's Trophy discussion we were having a little earlier. So, eight instances that you've won the President's Trophy, you've won the Stanley Cup, eight instances where the team has lost in the first round. I did ask the text line quickly before we bring Jason in if there's any incentive we can add to the President's Trophy. We got two texts. One was, I think whoever wins the President's Trophy should get all seven games at home in the first round. That's Derek in Sudbury. And the second one was, hey, guys, how about the incentive for winning the President's Trophy? The winner should get a first-round bye in the playoffs and then would need to work it out so the other conference winner has a first-round bye, like the NFL, to even the playoff runs out. But the top NHL team needs an extra advantage over that other conference winner if they meet, like, home ice.
We were talking to Sean Reynolds about just the importance of playoff revenue. If you could just secure extra playoff revenue because you have more home dates, like, that would be a massive competitive advantage plus a financial advantage. I think that would be, again, that's never going to happen, at least I don't think. And maybe it's not even that good of an idea. Like, in practice, it wouldn't work out the way you'd want. But there needs to be something, or at least there should be something, more incentive to finish at the top, because it just seems like this crush can sort of standings doesn't reward teams as much as it should.
Let's bring in Jason Buchla, Sportsnet, former Panthers director of amateur scouting. Booksy, what's up, buddy?
Booksy. I love the fact that we got somebody from the Suds, the Nickel Belt, to come up with, let's just stay at home for the entire first round. That's an awesome suggestion.
Yeah, they come on up to Sudbury and let's see if you can handle the weather. I mean, what do you have any incentivization tactics to make the President's Trophy worth a little more, or is it fine the way it is?
It's fine the way it is. I mean, we've got so much parity in the league. I'm not so sure that the President's Trophy isn't as much of a jinx than it is something that you want to achieve. No, I'm good the way it is. I mean, I've got other hills to die on before I talk about that. You know, I'd like to see 3 points for a win, and you know, eliminate some teams that are well below 500. I mean, we could do a whole show on it, so I don't want to bore you. But I've got other things I'd like to discuss before that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fair, right? And you've been in an NHL front office, and if it's not even something that is remotely important, then I guess it tells you about the importance of the award just in general and how teams look at it. But, like, yeah, it'd be cool if it meant something. It'd be cool if it meant a little bit more than it does. But, again, it's taken on this, like, negative connotation with the curse. And as long as it's going to be that, I don't think teams are going to be breaking their backs in order to chase it. Obviously, more important things. An important game tonight on Sportsnet. Panthers and Bruins battle for first in the Atlantic. Again, the President's Trophy, maybe a sidebar here.
Don't bring
as
it
well
up, Justin.
You know, how do you rate this return for Florida? It was a surprise run, clearly, to the Stanley Cup final. They've emerged as one of the true players this year, but it's not like they didn't go and undergo change. It's not like they didn't try to improve themselves. Like, it was a surprise last year. It won't be a surprise this year, but have they done the necessary things to put themselves in a position to get back to where they were?
Well, there's got to be a little bit of luck in the Stanley Cup tournament, let's be honest. I mean, you know, you got to run out 8 defensemen. You got to stay relatively healthy, and you got to get, in Florida's case, the best Bobrovsky every night. I mean, let's not forget how good he was last year. And, you know, when we brought him in years ago, guys, from Columbus, it was a real challenge from day to day what we were going to get from him. It was like good Bob, bad Bob. And it wasn't a work ethic thing. I don't know what it was, like young family, uprooting himself, moving. I don't know what it was. But it took him a long time to get settled in there in Florida. I'll tell you, like this Florida team, I like them a lot. I like, you know, what they've created there is a culture now, right? They understand now how to win, and their leadership group, you know, with the Barkovs and the Ekblads, and, you know, even Bobrovsky, I put them in there, and then of course bringing Tkachuk in, it created more growl in the lineup, which was something that that group really required, you know, an identity that way. Even the Montours of the world, those are great pickups. Gustav Forsling. I mean, they've done a heck of a job acquiring assets on the wire, the waiver wire, that is, and also through trade. They've also traded out some fantastic assets, right? Like, and that's just the cost of doing business. I mean, Bowen Tippett looks like he's probably going to be a 35, 40 goal guy. Montembeau looks like he might be the starter in Montreal. So it's cost of doing business, but they look like they're going to be an awfully tough out come playoffs. And this is fascinating, this matchup to me tonight, because I really feel like the Boston Bruins have a huge chip on their shoulder with the way things ended last year. And I mean, that's an easy statement to say. I know that's, you know, like, don't overstate the obvious, but, you know, I think it's even more because, you know, when you Bergeron goes out and Krejci goes out, and now that the secondary level of leadership has got to carry the torch, if you will, I think that, you know, they are out to prove people that, you know, they've got sustainability as a group. And, you know, they look awfully strong too with the two-headed monster in net. So it's going to be a fascinating matchup tonight. Interesting to see how playoffs play out. But I do have to go on record saying right now, I think the Carolina Hurricanes look like the best team in the East as I sit here today. Mm.
Okay, that's it. Sorry, Justin, go ahead. But yeah, I'm surprised by that a little bit.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Carolina because I was in the building a couple Saturdays ago watching Evgeny Kuznetsov, who is this, like, mystery to me, right? Like, sometimes he's brilliant, sometimes he's floating. I thought, frankly, he was awful in that game. And then you got Jake Guentzel, who, I mean, they're not polar opposites by any means, but he is kind of got this quiet, not dominance, but this quiet effectiveness that really shines through, and he's had a brilliant start so far. So, like, clearly those are two big additions. Clearly this team has been missing goal scoring. I can kind of count on Guentzel for giving you some, but I have no idea what to do with Evgeny Kuznetsov.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement, Justin. I mean, he's an enigma for me for a long time. Even going back to 2018 when he had that great playoff run when they won it. I think it was 2018. Am I getting that wrong? But I think when the Caps won it, you know, he's always been a bit of an enigma to me. He's been more of a passenger than a leader, if you will. You know, he's like the secondary guy on the two-wheel bike, or, you know, the double-person bike. But, I mean, listen, he's got something to prove as well. There's been some off-ice issues there. Sometimes players fit into certain cultures really well. And I think you can't underestimate the coach in Carolina, Rod Brind'Amour, and what he's going to do for a player like that, even in a small window for a short period of time. And then, you know, you got like the Burns on the back end, like that leadership group that they have there. So I'm with you, though. I'm not really so much counting on Kuznetsov to be a one. I think he's a secondary guy no matter what. I just think that if we get him elevated beyond that, that's a bonus. But it does play out to give them more balance up front. The thing I really noticed about them, especially when they're playing the Leafs the other night, and let's put it in perspective, Toronto traveled the night before, mm-hmm. you know, they played back-to-back and all that. But, man, was Carolina playing fast. And, I mean, they're moving the puck, like they're ping-ponging it around and attacking off the rush and doing some things. That wasn't a 2-1 hockey game. I mean, good on the Leafs for hanging around. But for me, that was Joseph Woll's arguably his best game in the Nets as a Toronto Maple Leaf. I thought that after they fell down 2-0, and then he, you know, made some huge saves not to make it 3-0, not to allow it to go to 3-0. I don't know. I just something that tells me, you know, good things are on the horizon for Carolina. Of course, you know, look what happened last year. Sveshnikov went down with injury before playoffs. So anything's possible, but we'll see how it goes.
I will definitely ask you about your latest article at Sportsnet.ca between the two Maple Leafs goaltenders. Before we get to that, I just want to go back to the Florida Panthers because Sam Reinhart has been a stud this season, obviously hitting 50 just the other day. A big time UFA this upcoming summer. I wonder where you start to circle writing that guy's name down for long term and how much that might cost.
Yeah, it's a fascinating question, isn't it? And this is where the conversation, and I think people get bored of me speaking this way, but this is a reality, guys. There's going to be a discount to stay in Florida. And it's not going to be so much that the player gives a discount. He will a little bit. But the cost of doing business for a player in Florida in that state is much less than it is going other places. So, yeah, he could go, let's say something obscene. He goes back to Buffalo. Let's just use it as an example. And he gets 11-5 in Buffalo. Okay, he gets, obviously a huge bump. But 11-5 in Buffalo isn't 11-5 in Florida. Mm-hmm. 11-5 is more like 10 in Florida or less. And so he's not going to make Barkov money, which is 10 in Florida. And I think that he's happy there. And why wouldn't you be? They got a brand new practice facility up on Las Olas. I'm sure you two have been in Las Olas to have, you know, dinner and play mini golf. I go there for other reasons, but that's another story. They're going to eventually get a new rink there as well. So I think that a lot of things are positive to stay there. I think his number to stay in Florida is going to be around 8-5. If I was guessing, it might get to 9. But it's not going to be beyond Tkachuk. It's obviously not going to be Barkov. And I think he's going to stay, and I think they want him to stay.
How powerful, and I don't get how much, I've never been there. How powerful is the internal hierarchy? Like, is that like one of the lesser talked about tools? Because you mentioned it, he can't earn more than Tkachuk and Barkov. Like, there's no chance. So if you have that internal hierarchy in place, is it something that helps you, or is a competitive advantage over teams? And the tax thing is obviously more powerful, but how powerful is the internal hierarchy when you're building a team?
Really powerful. I really believe that. I mean, we can go back and date ourselves pre-cap era. You know, like, think back to the Detroit Red Wing teams back in the day. Those guys could have made a lot more money elsewhere, right? Like the Lidstroms and the Yzermans and the Datsuits and everybody that they had there. And then you fast forward even to the Boston Bruin model. I think that some of those guys outside of what Pasternak's getting paid now, those guys could have went elsewhere. Look at Sidney Crosby in Pittsburgh as well, winning cups and making the money that he makes. So I think that when you create a culture and you feel like, you know, we're here to win Stanley Cups and we feel like we have a group who can contend for a long time, that eats into the motivation for $500,000 extra. That sounds crazy. I know that sounds nuts. And maybe even a million. I don't know. But I really do believe that when you got a good thing going and you're happy on balance as an individual and your family's happy, and if you have a young family and they're starting school or private school down there, all those things factor into it. And how much happier am I going to be elsewhere, not winning as much and going to a place that I don't know that my personal infrastructure as a family man isn't going to be compromised?
We're chatting with Jason Buchla of Sportsnet, of course, giving us a latest article at sportsnet.ca today, talking about who should start game one for the Maple Leafs. And spoiler alert, you don't really have an answer. And that's okay, because I think it's more of a prove yourself, find out who's the 1A. But you do a lot of research and you do lay it out nicely about the differences between high danger chances, et cetera, et cetera. So what did you learn most when you got to compare these two or three goaltenders, even when you're looking at the Maple Leafs and their opportunity to hopefully make a long playoff run?
I wish I learned more, because it's kind of like, you know, I take 10 minutes of somebody's day and they get to the end and there's not the conclusion that they're looking for. It's like the worst ending of a great movie, you know. But here's one thing that I learned, guys, breaking down tons of goalie tape, is I'm less concerned about what goes on between the pipes. And I don't want to take this conversation off the rails, but way more concerned over the egregious errors that the Leafs continue to make in games. So, you know, they're middle of the pack in goals against average, and the goaltenders in Toronto on, you know, compared to other playoff teams and certainly contending teams, we give up way more grade A chances against than other outfits that we're going to be competing against in playoffs. And when our penalty kill is hovering around 76%, which is 27th in the league, we're just putting more and more pressure on our goaltenders to make monstrous saves at the hardest time of the year. And that's fair. That's their job. I get it. But there's a lot of other holes in this lineup. Now, I had to kind of deflect a little bit on Samsonov, because that stretch in December, I can't remember if we were talking about it or not, but I think we would all agree in December, like, he looked like he was an East Coast League goalie more than an NHL goalie, right? So his stats were kind of slanted in a really negative direction until recently. So I'm not all in on either one yet, but I would say this, if you put me on the spot absolutely today, even though he's only played five games, and you said, Jason, who's it going to be today? What do you know today? Even though there's been some equality there, I like Wall in the crease better than I like Samsonov in the crease. I like his composure better. I think that when things get hectic in front of Wall, he's got more presence in the crease, and pucks will find him, and he gets less he moves a lot less, because Samsonov's an athletic goalie, a butterfly athletic. He'll get outside the post sometimes, or even in the article, I tried to break down some tape for people to read and see what I'm seeing, and that is that Samsonov, when he makes saves in traffic, his initial save, if his butterfly isn't on balance, he gets leaning forward quite a bit, and now all your momentum is moving forward. I can't move sideways to make a save when I'm playing like that. So, there's no clear-cut number one right now, but, you know, if Wall continues to play the way that he played the other night, at the end of the day, I would probably anticipate it would be him.
So hard to split hairs in terms of performance, but the treatment of these goaltenders, I think, is an interesting story. Not that they wouldn't fly Ilya Samsonov to Carolina early. I'm sure they would. They get taxed here in Toronto, but they can fly goaltenders out a day early. But Joseph Wall seems to be, there's like a hyper-protectiveness over Dennis Hildeby, and there seems like there's a hyper-protectiveness over Joseph Wall as well. Not to say that like the training wheels should come off, and not that they're not there for Ilya Samsonov at all, but it does feel like there's a different treatment for Joseph Wall in a way that they want to massage this situation. Like, what do you make of how they have handled Wall's workload, his recovery, his ramp up process? Like, is this all scientific, or is this just what you do with a young goaltender?
Well, first out of the box, it's got to be health related for sure. Like, high ankle sprains, especially for goaltenders who are putting their body in a position that's really not normal. I mean, it's one thing, Ailish, I don't know if you ever had one back in the day, but if you're straight, you know, you might be able to get your boot on, you might be able to skate in straight lines, but when you got to be like going down and pushing side to side, pushing all the stress on the outside of the ankle the way that he has been, I think that was a huge factor, Justin, in trying to manage to make sure that he's 100% healthy. That injury will not go away and not 100% heal until the offseason. I don't believe, anyways, in my history of some of our players having that injury. The second thing I would say is that, they did treat Samsonov kind of a little bit the same way. I know they waived him when he went down to the American League. He didn't play a game. He kind of had a reset there. So they had a plan for him as well back when, things were going south for him. I do want to see Wall get to the next level, though. There's no question about it. I'm in agreement with you here. Like, in another time when I was scouting with Nashville, we had Pekka Rinne come to our roster around the same age. And when he arrived, we had, Mason and Bocoon there. But in pretty short order, he got the net and he ran with it, never gave it back, I do agree that we have to get to that stage. It's unfortunate he kind of got sidetracked with the injury. As far as the travel goes, I think that's just the benefit of having three goalies on your roster. You know, it's kind of like in playoff baseball, in the fall when the starter for the next game, if the Jays were lucky enough to be playing, I don't know, wherever, in San Francisco, for example, they'd fly the pitcher home if they're going to another game. So I think that's just a result of just an opportunity.
One last one for you, Jason. Appreciate your time. So you like Carolina being, the leaders of the pack on the East Coast. So who's your Carolina of the West?
Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it?
It's like, hard over there.
It's hard over there. I'm not going to deny it, but I gotta believe Colorado. If Borgiev can continue to make some saves, that he's been dialed in recently. I'm going Colorado again. Playing exceptionally fast, and the leadership there, like, you watch McKinnon play, it's like his hair's on fire every night, and I think everybody follows there.
All right. Well, we're going to place that bet, and we're going to talk to you soon.
Oh, please don't place that bet. No. Please don't. I don't need any drama. Okay?
No drama.
When we get to the Sphere, when we all convene at the Sphere, let's go place a bet on something else.
I can't wait to get to the Sphere. As long as you speak it into existence, someone listening
will
bring me to
books?
The Sphere. Oh, my God. That'd be the best. Okay? We're about to make it happen.
Roulette all day. I just sit there. I'm so boring.
I love roulette. That's the only thing I do. Like I
just bet on black, though. I don't do anything.
Oh,
it's
I
not
pick my jersey
fun.
Number. I'm just... I'm a sucker.
And it's hit a few times.
For 27, and it's hit a few times. I don't know. I got some sort of like voodoo, so it's good stuff. So we'll hit the roulette table up. All right, Jason Buchla, we appreciate your time tonight. It's a big one. Later, Boston and Florida on Sportsnet, and we'll chat with you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks so much. Jason Buchla of Sportsnet, former Panthers director of amateur scouting as well. Carolina and...
I'm feeling kind of smart because I've been price shopping a little Carolina-Colorado Ooh. Final myself.
You just wanted confirmation.
I did want some confirmation.
Okay, let's talk bets because we've got a couple big games on the network and on tonight. Of course, we've got New York, New Jersey, and Toronto coming up a little later on Sports at 590 The Fan. We're going to shift to our pregame show in a second. But the one I submitted to our lovely television crew is not the one that I actually feel most passionate about, so I'm going to give you two. My best bet was going to be Trevor Zegras, who is going to make his return after missing like 31 games.
Mm.
But Jake Gensel's return to Pittsburgh is tonight. So override. Jake Gensel, goal. You can do both if you'd like. I just saw it at plus 150. It's going to be an emotional night. He's playing for the Hurricane. Like, it's just, it's Jake Gensel. But Trevor Zegras as well, folks.
And the Penguins are bad. So I see that as a legitimate possibility, of course.
Remembered.
I'll get a head start on the pregame show. I like the over. Toronto and New Jersey, both teams are in the top half of goals scored and goals allowed in the league this year. The Devils are not a good team when it comes to keeping pucks out of their own net. The Maple Leafs a little bit better, but they score, and so do the Devils. I like the over 6.5. I think it was like minus 120. So you got to pay a little juice to play. But I do think the play of the night is the Nashville Predators minus 140.
They're on fire.
I didn't want to take minus 140, and I ended up picking a minus 120 anyway. But the Predators catch the Vegas Golden Knights, second half of back-to-back. Predators have not lost in regulation this month. The Predators are a legitimate wagon right now. And Aiden Hill, not available for the Vegas Golden Knights. So a couple things working against VGK, and everything has been working for Nashville. So I like the Predators as well, minus 140.
Here's one that I wasn't able to find a line for yet because it's a prop of a player who doesn't play much / ever. Josh Doan, of course, of Shane Doan.
Tread carefully.
Is making his NHL debut with Arizona tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. If you could find that prop somewhere, it would be a fun one.
And
a great
I'm sure the over-under 0.5 goals is not an option.
It's currently not. But, you know, he played collegiately at Arizona State. His father's Shane Doan, former quote-unquote, his captain. It's, you know, probably a very emotional night. And those stories always make me feel excited about them. So Shane Doan, son, Josh Doan, debut tonight. Best of luck.
There you go. Before we give you the Blue Jays odds, or at least percentages, to get to the playoffs this year, did you pull up Carolina, Colorado exact final?
If you give me
30
seconds, I could do that for
you. I think it's in the 30-1 range, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Can you talk while I do it?
I can.
Can you tread water?
I just think, listen.
Filibuster.
Listen, the Colorado Avalanche have been playing unbelievably well. They added to this group.
Oh,
they trimmed the fat.
It.
The Colorado Avalanche seem like the most, I agree with Jason, legitimate team out of a really busy Western Conference. I'm kind of been convinced about Carolina too, because the Achilles heel with them has been, hey, they just can't score enough in the playoffs. When you add Jake Gensel, probably going to score tonight in Pittsburgh, and you add Evgeny Kuznetsov, at least it litters, if the bare minimum, it puts more scoring across the lineup because it spreads out the talent just a little bit. So I do think they've fixed their main issue. I do think they have a better path than, say, the Maple Leafs or Panthers or Bruins out in the Metropolitan Division. I could really easily see Carolina and Colorado meeting in the Stanley Cup Finals.
If you would like to bet on that, it's 18-1.
Oh, you know what I was looking at? The Colorado to beat Carolina. But, you know, 18-1 is good.
For that,
no, I'm
Justin.
Not asking for it. I'm just saying that's why it was closer to 30 for the exact result.
Okay.
That is just the two to meet in the Stanley Cup Final, which might be a better bet.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break on the other side. We'll be back on Sportsnet 590 The Fan to talk Leafs, Devils, they're going to meet each other three times in the next 12 games.
I did promise, by the way, Blue Jays odds to make the playoffs. 48.9%, so a coin flip. Yes,
that's
or no?
It.
Yes,
yeah,
or no?
Yeah, everyone makes the playoffs.
Not everyone.
I think they can make the playoffs.
It does feel
I'll
like a coin flip
to me. I'll take the positive side of
right.
coin flip.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not taking the negative side.
I just I'm surprised at how little people are in on Baltimore. I just love Baltimore.
Devils, Leafs, pregame show next.